It's nothing to do with me, but to think that God would send a message to us, messages rather, that are uncommon, stuff that I've never heard preached, and I'm not trying to pin anything on me. I'm just saying that God is sending a unique set of messages to us about the servants. I'm still personally feeding on that. I've asked numerous preachers if they have ever preached on the servants, and I've got 100% no, never preached on it. Why? Because we're so focused on the prodigal, or else we're focused on the Pharisee that we overlook the servants. But the servants exhibited more of sonship than the actual sons did. In other words, there's things that stand out in those servants that you and I should be able to adapt into our life that should have been in those sons, but wasn't. But then anyway, we've been dealing, I think, maybe a couple of messages now on the fatted calf, on the fatted calf. And we've been focusing our attention on that fatted calf in the scripture, Luke 15. Three times, I believe it's right, three times the word fatted calf is referred to, verse 23, 27, and 30. Let's just read those verses because we're familiar with this scripture. Most of you are familiar with the prodigal, the Luke 15 passage. But let's look as the prodigal is now coming home from the far country, and the father receives him in verse number 22. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf." He didn't say, "Go fatten the calf." He said, "Bring hither the fatted calf." That is, it's already in that condition. It's already, listen, been fattened up for the Father's purpose. So bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed," here it is again the second time, "the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." A big word that just stuck out to me reading that verse just now is the word "because." The father hath killed the fatted calf because. And if you'll help me, I'll try to remember to make comment on that or use that this morning. But I may forget it. But anyway, because he hath received him. There's a cause involved. There's an accomplishment of a cause. There's something that has happened. There's an event that's taking place. And he says to kill the fatted calf because of that. Anyway, verse number 28. The elder son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid." What that means, you've never killed no fatted calf for me. You've never even fattened up a calf for me. You've never given me nothing like this so that I could make merry with my friends. But he says in verse number 30, "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, necessary, good. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us in our focus this morning, our concentration. Lord, not just on a subject, But Lord, to be focused in and in tune with, Lord, what you want us to say. Lord, I believe that preaching is a spiritual task and requires spiritual enablement and power. And Lord, I pray you help me, Lord, to be your mouthpiece, having the utterance of the Spirit, and that you would communicate to all of us what you're wanting us to see, and not just to see it and know it far as information, and to build our intellect with some more Bible knowledge, but that, Lord, you would challenge us and speak to us concerning these truths. And Lord, I know that the messages that you give and send, we are going to be accountable for what we have done with all of the messages. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize how weighty and serious that is, that we're going to meet every message at the judgment seat of Christ as to what we did with it or why we didn't do anything with it. Please help us. I ask your will to be done this morning. Save sinners. Stir the people of God. Send an old-fashioned revival. Lord, it's the only hope for us. It's the only hope of our day, of the church reaching the lost, having an influence on the kingdom of darkness. It's for the church to have revival. Lord, may it begin in me. Oh God, may I hunger for that. Lord, may it begin in us. Lord, may none of us here at RBT look around at other churches and use them as excuses to excuse our lack or our loss of fire and lack of hunger. But rather let us use them as a reason for us, Lord, to step out and step up and be up in the front and be an example and be an instrument and be a vessel and a channel that you can flow through us and use us. Lord, may we have as a church overwhelming desire to be used for you, Lord. God, help us to know that our spiritual life is going in the wrong direction if we don't have a real heart's desire, sincere, felt desire to want to be used of God. And Lord, that's not a preacher thing, that's a believer thing. You've never saved anyone, but Lord, what you want to use for your glory. That you've got a purpose for their life. And I pray that you will help us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, but you're already seated. Amen. I'm dealing on the fatted calf, and here's our message title: The Father Needs More Than Skin and Bones. The Father did not need just a calf. I want us to get that emphasis. The Father needed a fatted calf. And let me help you with something here, because maybe, I don't know how much of this you've been getting. I don't know. I hope you've been getting a lot of it, most of it. Some of it at least. I hope you've been getting it. I mean, I hope it's registering. I hope you're seeing it and receiving it. But here's one way that you can understand what I'm dealing with. I'm using a calf to relate spiritual truth. All through your Bible, you find God using birds, animals, and in so doing, look at those that he has used. And you can see some great spiritual applications that can be applied to yourself out of that and be used of God likewise. And I don't want to get on some of them, but let me mention one. What about the whale that swallowed Jonah? Literally that whale, in fact, I started to preach on it back years ago. I don't know if I ever did or not. I can't remember. But I wanted to preach on being a whale of a servant, because that whale was more of a servant than Jonah was. I mean, it was obeying God. God's the one that prepared that thing. It was obeying God, in a deep, in the deep, in the dark, with things over its head. Nobody could see it, but it was faithful to be doing what God told it to do. It was where it needed to be, when it needed to be, what it needed to be. What for? For God to use it. See how you can make those, draw those same applications into your own life? God used all kinds of animals. God used a rooster in Peter's life, and somebody said he never ate chicken after that day, ever again. There's so many applications. What about a dove? God likens the Holy Spirit to be a dove. Now, he wasn't a dove. He wasn't a dove, but now he had a lot of similarities to a dove. He had a lot of the truths there that could be applied to a dove could be applied to the Holy Spirit. And so you can see there how that God uses animals in the Scripture to challenge us. Amen. And so I want you to know this morning that in our text, God is wanting to use the fatted calf to challenge us to go beyond normal. Go beyond normal. To not just be a Christian, but to be a Christian that is full. Fatted with fullness. Fattened with fullness. Go to the upper end of the scale. Not just a calf, but go to the upper end of the scale and weigh all you can for God and God's glory. So anyway, that's kind of what we've been dealing with. And the fact that that's what the Father wanted. You say, well, preacher, why should I want to go from normal to be an extra for God? Because he deserves, the Father wants it. The Father's requesting it. The Father's making the provision for that calf to really be a fatted calf. But I don't see much of that among Christianity today. I don't see much of that even among the upcoming church of tomorrow, the young people. You don't see much of that where young people are making a decision to eat all that the Father feeds it. That's the key to being a fatted calf. It's nothing mysterious. It's not some miraculous happening. Oh, I know. Well, Preacher Rackley, if I be like Preacher Rackley, I've got to go through some miraculous something. No, just start eating all the Father puts on your plate. Because he's not only he's going to feed you quality, and he's going to feed you quantity. Amen. So anyway, that's kind of what we've been dealing with to try to bring us up to where we are now. The first thing that we've already covered is that it's a fatted calf because the fatted calf came from the Father's process. Amen. The Father had everything to do with that fatted calf being a fatted calf except one thing. You know what it was? How many knows what it was? The Father had everything to do with the fatted calf being a fatted calf, Miss Caden, except one thing. And that was the calf had to eat the food. It was on the Father's farm. The Father made the provision. The Father made everything for it to be full potential. And so it is with us. God, our Heavenly Father, has given everything, provided everything for us. All things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us everything for each one of us to reach full, key word there, full potential. But the Father will not force feed any of his children. That's right. So anyway, we talked about the process of the Father. Don't ever forget this. It had to be born a calf before it could ever be a fatted calf. No matter, listen to this. Lord, give this to me this morning. No matter how much you try to eat of the Father's provisions, it'll never make you a calf. Y'all see that application? You can be around church. You can feed on church. You can participate in church. You can be involved in church. In other words, that's your diet. I mean, you can try to just feed on all of that. But it'll never make you a Christian. That'll never make you a Christian no more than going into a garage will make you a mechanic or turn you into a car. Amen. Walking into a hospital don't make you a doctor. Are y'all seeing where I'm coming from? The only way to be a calf, you got to be born one. The only way to be a Christian, you got to be born one. Amen. And so it comes from the Father's process. Number two, I'm just skipping over some things. Number two, it was a fatted calf. We dealt with this last Sunday because it was feeding on the Father's plenty. Now, I want you to get that. I've already commented some things on that. I'm not going to preach about it. I do want to hit the highlights of it. And that is that the Father does have plenty. Can I get a witness that this Christian life is not a starvation life? I don't believe it's God's will that anybody goes from being quote unquote fat with the world as a sinner, full of the world as a sinner, and then go to a skeleton as a Christian. I don't believe that's God's will. And listen, what kind of light do you think that would cast on the Father if we did that? You know what it would say? Here's what it would say. The Father can't keep up with the world. The world does better than the Father does. The world can't keep up with the Father concerning provision and diet. That's right. That's why so many people sitting in church spends a lot of their time feeding on carnal things is because that's the diet they have. But anyway, listen to this. I'm going to skip down. Listen to this right here. I didn't cover this the other night. The Father really does believe that you are what you eat. The Father in our text knew that if that fatted calf was going to be everything that it could be and everything the Father wanted it to be and needed it to be, it was going to have to feed on quality. You'll never be a fatted calf with a snack diet. Let me go this far. You'll never be a fatted calf on a far country diet. You can be a fatted hog, amen, on a far country diet. But you won't be a fatted calf on a far country diet. So anyway, are y'all staying with me this morning? And so whatever you're feeding on, you'll have a desire to be big with. So look at your diet and it'll show you what you're developing in and what you're getting big with. And that goes along with some of the things that we covered early. But the Father does know that you are what you eat. He also knows that you will never be what you don't eat. Same thing, just said it different ways. You can't eat a junk food diet spiritually and be a fatted calf that the Father can use one day. That's right. And so anyway, with no doubt it became a fatted calf because it was daily, it became a full calf. It got full every day with everything the Father had fed it. And as a result of that, it became a fatted calf that the Father requested, that the Father required, that the Father needed. Amen. See, God is wanting to feed us now and develop us now because He knows there's a day coming that He's needing you and me to be everything that He wants us to be. You can't wait till the day that God calls on you and that God needs you to start trying to feed and spiritually fatten up. You can't do that. It takes a process of time to become a fatted calf. Amen. Some of you maybe growing up have had some experience as far as dealing with calves and cows and stuff. Listen, they don't just, listen, it was born a calf. It was born a calf, but it wasn't born a fatted calf. That came through development. That came through feeding. What have you been feeding on this morning? Hey, no, let me ask you this. No, erase that. What have you been feeding on this week? What have you been feeding on? You feed on, you say, preacher, what do you mean what I've been feeding on? I ate a hamburger and eggs. No, I'm not talking about physical food. What have you been feeding your spiritual man with? Say amen right there. That's right. Birth made you a Christian. Spiritual birth made you a Christian. But how big you are as a Christian, your size as a Christian, comes from one thing and one thing only. What are you feeding on? Amen. We wonder why our church services are low key. We wonder why church is boring. Church sometimes is dull. You think that's ever God's will? That doesn't come from God. I promise you that, amen. I tell you what it is. It's where folk in the house of God that are saved, because sinners can't grieve the Spirit of God. Saved people have fed their life all week long, mostly with carnal, fleshly, earthly, financial, physical things. And then we come to church starving spiritually on Sunday morning, and we just, nothing happens. Anyway, it comes from the Father's process. It comes by feeding on the Father's plenty. You are what you eat. If you want to be a fatted calf, you've got to eat a fatted calf diet. I don't know how much plainer I can get with all that. I mean, it is so evident. But here's where we're at today, and I want to get on this. Number three, the fatted calf was for the Father's purpose. And I know I've hit some things that I could use here on this point already. And I want to use, as the Lord showed me in reading there in verse 27, I mentioned it a moment ago. And he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because God don't just kill calves to be killing. Say, I killed one. I marked that one up. I got another one. No. He's got a purpose. He wants to put a because, Brother Scott, on the end of that. Amen. The fatted calf was killed. Is it killed? Why? It's killed because the Father needs and has a purpose and has a plan. Can I ask you something this morning that God asked me this morning afresh and anew? How big is God, the Father, our Father's purpose in your heart? I wish I could stand up here, Brother Fultz, and say that the Father's purpose for me has been big in me ever since He saved me. But there's been times that it hadn't been so. There's been times I've been distracted. There's been times I got sidetracked. There was times I started feeding, I mean gorging myself on things that really is not going to matter at the judgment seat of Christ. But I can tell you, Brother Mark, in those days and in those times and in those instances, I am not happy because I'm off track with my purpose. Pleasure comes from your purpose. Joy comes from your purpose. Everybody in here that's saved, it is your responsibility to find out, discover, and fulfill what the Father's purpose is for you. Are you listening? How strong is the purpose of God in your life? What kind of priority does the purpose of God have in your life? This fatted calf become a fatted calf, friend, because it was given totally to becoming that. Oh boy. You know, are y'all, I hope y'all getting it. At least act like you do. The fatted calf did not just mysteriously or miraculously turn out, develop, and voila, sprinkle a little gold dust and wave a magic wand over the calf, and wow, and now it's a fatted calf. No, it didn't do that. Amen? It was committed. The Father was committed to the calf, and the calf was submitted. Well, there's two good words that just came out. Did y'all hear them? How many heard them? I just heard them when it came out of my mouth just now. The calf was committed, or the Father was committed, but the calf was submitted. But Scott, I've never raised cows. I've just eat them. Say amen right there. But I have talked to a few people that has some dealings with that. And one of the things, Brother Jeter even asked him, because he fools with cows, son. And he said this. He said, when I'm picking out a calf that I'm really wanting to focus my attention on, he said, one of the things that really stands out to me is their attitude. He said, you can't use a calf for your big purpose that's always kicking and, you know, putting in a stall, and it's always a banging and kicking and trying to break out. He said, I look for that attitude. And Miss Caden, what he was talking about, I'm looking for that attitude of submission. I'm looking for that calf that'll just follow close with me. He said, a lot of time, Miss Hayes, he said that when he's finally picked that calf out that he's wanting to use and it's devoted for a specific purpose, he starts feeding it sweet feed. He starts feeding it quality. Not a regular calf diet. Not out there eating briars and amen and ragweed or whatever they eat out there. Amen. No, sweet feed. And he said that when he would go through the gate and he's got that bucket, after about 3 or 4 days of getting a good taste of that sweet feed, wherever that calf is that has that taste, in his mouth, he said, it'll come running. Leave the normal calves, oh boy. Leave those that are just eating regular, so they're just going to be regular. He said he'll come running, and said a lot of times he not just come running, but he will come bawling. You know what he was testifying with that bawl? Feed me. I like what my owner, I like what my owner's feeding me. Amen, amen. What would it do if we come in on Sunday morning getting ready to open the sweet feed of the Word of God and everybody in here spiritual is going, yeah. I'd say the preacher first would go like this, amen. I'd probably need a nitroglycerin tablet, amen. Oh, my goodness. Amen. That's right. But it's for the Father's purpose. There's no other. Get this. No other reason for it being a fatted calf if the Father don't need it. Say amen. Oh, mercy. Oh, boy, I'm seeing something here. That fatted calf being a fatted calf. That fat wasn't on the outside. That fat was on the inside. You can't get fat inwardly, spiritually, without the outside conforming likewise. Hey, man, you can tell by looking at the calf what it is on the inside. Boy, isn't that good. I'm telling you, this is feeding me. I hope it's feeding you. But listen, I hope it's challenging us all. But listen, really the fatted calf on the inside, the fat in the calf on the inside, is not really for the calf. I mean, it's growing, but it's really not for itself. Oh, boy. It's for the Father and for the Father's purpose. But let me just say something to you. I'm seeing something here. Brother Aaron, you fool with cows, son. You help me here. It's a lot easier to endure a winter time if you've got more than skin and bones. I don't know. There's probably been calves, you know, that's died out there in the snowstorm, wintertime, cold weather, because they was just regular. Amen. But that fatted calf is blowed up with survival. It may get cold, but I've got enough on the inside, hey, that'll counter the cold. Come on, preacher, and preach a little, amen. Got enough on the inside to make up for the dangers and the discomforts on the outside. I'll tell you, like I said, I've never been raised on a cattle farm, but I don't know. Y'all help me now if you have. Have you ever seen a cow? I've never seen a cow. Just driving by or being, there's a cow pasture in front of my house. I see cows over there, Brother Bob, all the time. I've never seen them over there when it's wintertime, snow on the ground, and I'm talking about 40 below. You ever seen one shiver? Because it's cold? No. It's almost like they don't even know what temperature it is. That's just like they don't know what the weather is. Wintertime? Oh, I didn't notice. No. Say amen right there. Hey, I want to tell you why you, listen, for no, listen, ultimately, my point is, you need to be a fatted calf because the Father's needing that. The Father's needing that. Amen. I tell you what, you need to be a fatted calf to help you through the wintertime. Oh, we're on to something else right here. I never seen this till this morning. It's getting bigger. Amen. It's getting bigger, bigger, bigger. Everybody say bigger. It's getting bigger. It's getting fatter. Amen. Listen. Your survival, listen, I know the skin of a calf. I know the skin of a calf is waterproof. Hallelujah. Lord, help us, ain't that good. It don't matter how much it rains, it don't get on the inside. It don't matter what storm it's going on. Hey, man, it don't matter what it is. Listen, oh, my goodness. Have you ever seen a cow? I haven't. That's got snow all over the back of it. Just like it don't stick. The wintertime just, it comes, it's in it, but it's not. It's in, the calf is in the snow, the storm, but the storm's not in the calf. And what little bit gets on the calf don't stay. Because there's enough heat on the inside that's radiating through the hide. Amen. Hey, that melts the snow. God wants us to be a fatted calf so we can survive. And I want to tell you, I don't have to preach right here. Surely I shouldn't have to preach right here. That the storm is coming. Hard times are coming. Winter time's going to be a part of the Christian journey. I want to tell you, we don't need to wait till the temperature drops out the bottom. Amen. Are y'all listening? And ice starts forming all around us. We shouldn't wait on there that time, Brother Mark, to start feeding. Anyway. Lord, have mercy. That is helping me right there. It's for the Father's purpose. Listen to this. The purpose for the calf required extra to be put into the calf so that there could be extra that come out of the calf and from the calf. You know why the Father wanted a fatted calf? He knew how big it needed to be to meet the demands. All right, I'm just going to jump ahead and give you the truth right here. God the Father needs a fatted calf because His purpose is to feed you to others. That's it, preacher. I'm out. Brother Mark hit it this morning. We're in a selfie age, buddy. Used to people take, what was that illustration you used, Brother Mark? Used to people take photos of others and family and stuff, but now, buddy, we're in a selfie mode. How about got plumb tickled? I was eating in a restaurant Thursday, actually, and I about got tickled. I walked in the doors waiting to be seated, and I was just looking to see if I knew anybody. And I looked, and over there sat a woman in the corner. I didn't know her from Adam. And she had her phone. There's no way that I could make the face that she was making. But now she had a plate of food there. She could be eating, but she had her phone up here, and her eyes was this big, as like, or something like that. I mean, it would scare a haint. And it dawned on me. She is taking selfies. Trying to look stupid and was succeeding. Are y'all listening? But that's, listen, I'm not knocking if you make selfish, but here's what I am saying. That is showing us the mentality of a lot of people. Instead of it being others, it's inward. It's me. It's what is I want. Who's going to see me? That's what's killing our churches is selfishness. Self-focused, self-centered. I know the Father wants this, but I don't want that. I want this. He wants me to be extra, but I'm wanting to just be enough. You remember what I said back a couple messages ago? That when, of course you do. Hey, man. I'm going to believe that anyhow. If you only eat enough, then you'll only that's all you'll ever be is just enough. And if you're enough, there'll never be leftovers. There'll never be nothing extra for the Father to use. But anyway, that was two or three messages ago. But anyway, listen to this. My goodness, that's helping me. The Father, listen to this. The Father does a developing work in the calf before the Father can do a distributing work with the calf. Now, no way for you to look at it other than this. Before the Father used that calf, at its greatest potential, it had to become a sacrifice. It had to what? It had to die. Do we see the truth there? Do we see the application there? How many is willing to die? No, we're not talking about physically. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said this, and probably... Listen, probably though it was just a little statement, it was probably instrumental in Paul being the Apostle Paul that we all know him to be. He said, I die daily. See, oh boy, Lord, help me. In the Father, in our text, in the Father's mind, that's where his purpose is. In the Father's mind, the whole time that calf was being developed in the Father's mind was a day that it would be sacrificed and fed to other people. The fatted, listen, I don't know. I know that's deep. That's some deep stuff right there. But the fatted calf, it can be a fatted calf full, hide stretched tight with its fatness, all of that. It can be ready. But if it's still alive in itself and living a calf life, the Father can't use it. The Father has to put an end to the calf life before it can be put on the plate and table for other people to feed on. Now I'm going to jump way ahead to another message right here. How many other calves on that farm do you think there was? We don't know, but do you think there were? I mean, we're talking about a plantation type thing. Big, monstrous. Servants? Yeah, it's a big place. Probably a bunch of calves. I'm going to ask these two girls right here a big question. Out of all the potential, I'm just going to say, let's just say there was 50. There maybe could have been 100 calves on there. Which one do we hear about today, over 2,000 years later? The fatted one. We don't know what happened to those others. I'm certain they ended up dying one at some point. But no record of them being fatted, no record of God's, the Father's purpose. You said, preacher, I don't want to die. I don't want to die to myself. I don't want to die to what I want. I don't want to die to my plans. It's my life. Who was it? Was it Elvis that sung, I Did It My Way? I guarantee he'd like to rewrite that song. The fellow that now pastors the church where Dr. Percy Ray once was at in Myrtle, Mississippi. I don't know why I'm on this right here, but I'm going to give it while I'm on it. Never gave it before. He pastors the church that Brother Ray pastored, Myrtle, Mississippi. And this man told a preacher friend of mine, Brother Jeff Brown and and Brother Daniel Buchanan and some of those went out there and spent a week out there at Myrtle, Mississippi praying on the grounds there and in the church stuff. Because Brother Ray was known probably more for his praying than he was his preaching. And that pastor told them about Brother Ray spending a week in prayer. And that was not uncommon. And when I'm talking about spend a week in prayer, I'm talking about go in a room, go in a church, go somewhere and not come out until his prayer time is over. And you know who he was praying for? He was praying for Elvis. Elvis knew him. One of the godliest men ever lived, Dr. Percy Ray. And after his prayer time, God told him, said, go to Memphis. Carry the message and go see Elvis. So he went. Listen to me now. I don't want you to get sidetracked now what we're dealing with. He went. And of course, you know, there was always a crowd, always a crowd. But he wouldn't let nobody in. But when Dr. Ray walks up, he sends a message. He said, go tell him that I'm here and I've got a message for him. He immediately had him escorted into his room in private. And Dr. Ray told him how he'd spent the week in prayer and that God had definitely commissioned him to go. And he begged him to use his talent and his reputation to turn this young generation, to turn them back to God and bring revival to this nation. He said, God said, you are the one that can do it. Get your act together, get right with God, whatever else he told him. But he said, be used of God to turn this whole nation back to God because you've got the eye and you've got the ear of the nation. And he prayed with him, of course, all that, and left. That was 3 weeks before he died. Evidently, he didn't listen. I don't know. Dr. Percy Ray tells me, Brother Ronnie Simpson said, if Dr. Ray tells you, I'm praying for you to die, you might as well go get laid down in the coffin. That's called a prayer of life he had. Listen, I don't even know how now I got on that. But listen, God wants to use you. Honestly, I don't know why I got on that. I don't even know why I dealt with all that now. Then I did, but I don't now. I know what it is now. He's once sung the song, I Did It My Way. And we're not talking about being a fatted calf for you. We're talking about being one for the Father and letting God end your life. End your life. Not physically and plant you out there on the hillside, but end your life. That would bring revival, Brother Jeff, to RBT. That would cause us to be greatly and mightily used of God if our life would end. Notice this now, the calf didn't kill itself. It plainly said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. You will never, listen, come on now, physically or any other way, it's never God's will for you to administer death to yourself. How do we die spiritually, Brother Samuel? We submit ourselves to God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, showing distinction, difference to the life I used to live, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I hope that gets big in us. God's wanting to feed you to others. God's wanting to serve you to others. I don't deserve that, preacher. You better get out of that mentality. God will never use you. I don't deserve that. I deserve to live. I deserve to advance. Listen. The only calf we ever heard anything about still yet today from off of that entire farm was that one calf that submitted to the stall, that submitted to separation, that submitted to the Father's purpose and plan. Listen, hey, come on. The calf didn't know what the purpose was. But you know what that calf was doing every time he'd open his mouth and get a good mouthful of sweet pea? He was saying, I trust the Father. I don't know what he's going to do with me, but I trust the Father. I don't know where he's going to take me. I don't know, oh my. What if that calf, and we're just supposing, we're spiritualizing, what if that calf would have thought, you know, I'm just going to wait till I'm an adult before I start considering, you know, the purpose of the Father. You know what would have happened? How many knows? It would have missed the purpose. Because the purpose of the Father wasn't for that adult age group, for that calf. It was for that calf as a calf when it was young. And to challenge the young people again, just a reminder, even as a calf, young, very young, it was already called a fatted calf. It was already being fattened up spiritually for the Father's purpose and use. Boy, what would that do in our young people? What would that do for the future if these young people in this building would commit and submit your life to the Father's purpose? He does. Listen, come on now. Oh, help me, Lord. The Father does not have to give you an explanation. Many would say, oh, I'll be a fatted calf, preacher, if the Father will tell me the whole deal. Oh, would you? Would you? Come on now, would you? Let's just do a little demonstration here. Here's my purpose for you. I'm the Father. This is a calf. This is a Carol calf. My purpose for you is I'm going to kill you. Yay! I can't wait. No. If God told us everything of His purpose, we probably would run from it. Hey, John the Baptist, none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. Hey, John, here's your purpose. You're going to have a 6-month ministry and you're going to get your head cut off. But where is that level of sacrifice and submission that says, Father, what do you want? Whatever your will is. Did not Jesus exhibit that ultimately on the cross? Or not on the cross, but in the garden? Under such burden and turmoil and that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. But you know what he said, Brother Compton? Not my will. Revival would come with those words if it would come from our heart and our life would adapt to it. Not my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. But most people in church are not there. I'm not there all the time myself. I'm being challenged by my own preaching on this fatted calf. I know y'all may be getting tired of hearing it. And I thought about this morning, honestly. I thought about just rushing through and just kind of hitting the highlights of a couple, two or three things and, you know, and just kind of sandwiched some of the stuff that's coming and just be done with it. But unto God, how can I do that? The Father doesn't use just a calf for his purpose. He uses a fatted calf, a calf that is fed to the full on everything the Father had fed it with. Amen. People cannot eat meat that is not there. The Father cannot feed what is not there. Listen to this, and I'm done. I'm just going to stop. I'm not done, but I'm just going to have to stop. The Father cannot feed what is not there in your life to other people. Y'all see that? I mean, is that not easy to see right there? What you are not, the Father can never use. The Father wants to develop us through our diet. That's the only way to become a fatted calf. After you're born a calf, the only way to become a fatted calf is feed. Feed on quantity, feed on quality. Feed. We'd probably be shocked in here this morning how little in a 7-day period from last Sunday to this Sunday, 8 days, I guess, if you do it that way, how many people in here has actually fed, not just read, but actually fed on God's Word. Let me tell you something. Listen, I'm right now done. One of the greatest enemies to your spiritual life is busyness. You can get so many demands on you, pulling on you, stressing you, stretching you, that you won't succeed in any area. How many's been there? I've been there. I can't tell you how many times my spiritual life fell off a cliff because I was stretched in some areas that I didn't need to be stretched in. Are y'all listening, preacher, this morning? Everybody's life, even in a day of convenience and technology, everybody's life is running 100 miles an hour in 50 different directions. I've got to be here. I've got to do that. I've got to this, that, and the other. I've got calls to make. I've got this. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. I've got to punch a clock. I've got to go here, there. And your mind is pulled in 50 different directions. Are you listening? As a parent, your mind is all in your family, your children, your bills, and 100 other things. But here's the thing that normally gets sacrificed in a life of busyness is your spirituality. Yep. The lady in Song of Solomon chapter 1, you know what she said? Other vineyards have I kept, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. In other words, I made sure everybody else's vineyard, you know, was growing and doing great and everything, while I let weeds grow up in mine. How are you doing this morning spiritually? Have you lost focus? Have you lost focus of the Father's purpose? Boy, it's always been big to me. I'll never forget when I got saved, I was a welder by our sheet metal, Hendersonville. And I mean, I had a future there. And I'll never forget going in and speaking to Roger, the owner. And I put in my notice. I said, I'm quitting. He said, what are you going to do? Where are you going? I said, God saved me, which he already knew that. I said, God's called me to preach. And I said, I'm going to Bible college. Step down financially? Oh, my goodness. I mean, step down major. He said, preacher, what did you do? I took God's purpose for me and made it big. And it's still big. Oh, my goodness. Whatever God wants you to do, there's pleasure in it. There's joy in it. There's a purpose in it. I've seen so many, and I want to challenge just some preachers here. I want to challenge everybody, really. I've seen so many preachers that I started out with, and I watched them. And I mean, I could deal with some relatives here, but I'm not. But I watched them make choices instead of to go big with the purpose of God and make some sacrificial choices even. I watched them turn the spiritual fire down on their purpose to low so they could divert their attention to something else. And I could name some this morning, but I won't, that are on the shelf. God hardly ever uses them. One in particular in Rosman, I'll just mention the town. He's an older man now. He's on up in years now. Went through the same college I did years before me. Dr. Seitler himself personally recommended this preacher to a church out west because he seemed to be the most promising preacher that at that time had ever come through Tabernacle. But the preacher turned it down. I'm not saying it was God's will or not. I'm just saying he turned it down. And I know the reason why, but he nevertheless, he turned it down. That was it. All he's ever done since then, and it's not a low thing, it's just that that wasn't God's purpose. All he ever done since then was teach Sunday school some and preach when the preacher was sick or the preacher needed somebody to fill in. And that's all he's ever done. Now he's at the older years of his life. His abilities, physical abilities and all that stuff is way down. Wife is sick. And I wonder back, I wonder if he looks back and think, man, if I would have said yes instead of no, what would be the outcome now? Listen, don't blow your life. Blink your eye about twice, snap your fingers three or four times, and you'll be looking at retirement age. I'm 56, and I want to tell you what just hit me the other day. I'm 14 years away from the age my mama died. 14, that's all. She died at 70. 14 years, Miss Caden, think about it. I'll be 70. Is that right? That is right, ain't it? My math is right. 14 short years. How many 14-year-old kids we have in here? Do we have any? 14? Care, stand up. 14, right? Right here's mom and daddy. How long ago was it that she was this big? The mama said yesterday. Life is a blur. Your life, my life, Miss Carrie, you're 14 now. Like that, you'll be 28, 35, 42. You want something says to bring reality to you? Get your cell phone out, open up your calendar, and just take your finger and just start flipping through and see how long it takes to add years and years to your life. My soul. It's time. It's past time. We need a revival of submission to the Father for His purpose to be a fatted calf for God's glory.